You're listening to the Cultural Curriculum Chat, the podcast that specializes in multicultural education and classroom strategies. I'm your host, Jebba Edmonds. Let's get started. All right. Hello, everyone. This is Jebba Edmonds here, and welcome again to the Cultural Curriculum Chat podcast, where I teach you multicultural educational strategies and best practices. So I'm here to introduce to you today in the guest chair, Mrs. Nita Creekmore. And I tell you, she's my diverse book bestie in my head. Oh, I'm so excited to have her on the show.
I love that.
So thank you. So let me give you a little background audience before we chat with Nita. Nita Creekmore is an instructional coach who lives just outside Atlanta, Georgia. In the 18 years she has been in education, she truly believes that in all aspects of the field, relationships must always come first. She's obtained a bachelor's in English, master's in elementary education, and also an educational specialist in supervision and leadership. Nita is married to Michael Creekmore Jr. and has 4 children. In her free time, she loves spending time with her family and friends, attending her kids' activities, and practicing yoga and relaxing with a good book. Nita believes that building relationships is foundational, the importance of self-care, and the impact of diverse read-alouds on students of all ages and backgrounds to transform the world. And I am so excited for this transformational chat, y'all. Oh, thank you. Welcome, Nita. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jebba. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me and asking me to be on and talking and chatting, all the things I love. So I appreciate that. Thank you for having me.
Oh, the pleasure's all mine. So yes, give our audience your background in multicultural education. Yes.
Yeah. So I started, I think it began even before I started teaching. When I was learning as a student teacher, and I started collecting lots and lots of books, the books that I could get my hands on. And back then, I'm 43, so it was in 1998, there really weren't a ton of books, that I began to really engulf in, because I really think a lot of multicultural education is through learning history, is through that. But I think the connection is literacy is the books that helps us to learn. And so even then, I was oh my God, Debbie Allen wrote a book on Dancing with the Wings. And those were some of the beginnings. I was oh, and some of the rich illustrations that would go along with that too. So even then was my journey along the way. So as I was learning to be a teacher, as I was learning to be an educator, I was also engulfing myself in children's literature. That was one of my favorite classes that I took, in really looking at and really diving into critically looking at children's books and children's literature. And so as my journey went on, I would engulf those just in my day-to-day as a teacher, engulf it into interdisciplinary studies, into science, into social studies. And it was one of those things that I felt I feel like just all my kids need to be seen, right? Of course, I love to see myself in books because it's not something that I grew up with. But my mom would give me the books it was one that was a folktale book, and I can't think of Virginia Hamilton. And she got me those books, and those had
People Could Fly. Ooh,
yeah. And she would bring those home, and I'd be engulfing myself in those. But at the time, I think I was little, and there weren't a lot of books that, I was represented in during that time. So just in that, just in threading that throughout just me being a teacher and wanting to learn about my students and their identities and where they came from and wanting to value them and celebrate them, it was one of those things that just became what I do, just what I do each day. Yeah.
Yes.
So that was my story and into multicultural just education.
Yeah. And just like you were saying too, Nita, just that spark that opened, wow, that representation is me on the bookshelf, but who else can I invite into my classroom that represents all the kids? Because the eyes of our students, when they see themselves, they sit up a little taller, and they can grab that book off their shelf when they're doing their read-alones, and they can sit up and learn more about their groups of other groups of people. That's just awesome.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So also too, Nita, even being, like you said, we're about the same age. So I'm right there with you with the small minutia of representation of, you know, African-American children's literature. What have you noticed now in this push for more multicultural literature in our classrooms? What have you noticed now?
So the first thing I've noticed is that there's still tons of work to be done, right? When So I feel like so much work has been done, and I collect all these books, and I have books all over my house. And when the studies are shown, right, the data is shown, it's still not enough, right? It's still not enough. But what I've noticed in that, in including multicultural education and making sure that it's not just something that we add onto the plate, this is the plate. It's the thread, right? It's the thread that builds our kids' confidence. It's the thread that allows our kids to say, ooh, me too, right? That's the thing that is like, oh, me too. Or, you know, when you think about, and there's one lesson that I always think about, and it's done in third grade here in Georgia, and it's colonialism, right? Mm-hmm. And it's a lesson I see often, and I'm always thinking really critically and asking critical questions to spark this in educators is, yes, okay, I see you dressing up and your colonial this and your hats and your aprons and your this and your that, and you're having fun and you're making butter and you're doing that. And you're showing one aspect of what was going on during that time, right? Yes. What other voices, what other cultures, what was happening during that time, right? Mm-hmm. With Native peoples, Indigenous peoples. What was happening? Where am I? Where are my people? Where are my ancestors? What's happening with them during that time while you're churning the butter? Okay. Mm-hmm. And so those are things that I'm thinking of when I'm thinking of lessons. Because guess what? I was a 7-year-old, 8-year-old in that classroom learning this colonial, right, time period. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, great, where's my people at? What was happening with them? And so those are the tickets for multicultural education. And so the thing is where am I seen in this? And if you teach students that are like your majority of your class, let's say identify as white, that's still learning experiences for them too, right? Yes. Whose voices aren't being taught, whose voices aren't being heard, and go find the literature, go find the book, go find, you know, and so do that work, because when you do that, it connects the kids to other cultures, other worlds, and it teaches them how to be human beings, right? Yes. Empathetic human beings. And so that's a lesson that always sticks out in my mind is like, where are the other voices?
Where are the other voices? Yes. And do you also recognize too, Nita, and when I was in the classroom, I felt there was this hesitation from the teachers in the majority who identify as white culture of, well, that was such a hard time. I said, but you need to, like you said, Nita, where am I? Where are my people at this time in history? And I always told my fifth grade students when we talked about European contact in our social studies series in Minnesota was, you know, we need to talk about the multiple lenses and the different voices at that time to get the whole picture of what it is. Because like you said, that danger, what was it? Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie said the danger of a single story. And I feel like a lot of us educators, we're scared to rock the boat, but we know that boat is there and we know the waves are there. So like you said, besides just churning butter, we have to have that conversation. And I think our students can handle it if you have it in a compassionate, empathetic way for them to understand, you know?
Absolutely. And something I was going to say while you were talking and something that jogged my mind too, is that teachers have to kind of get out of their comfort zone. It might make you a little uncomfortable to have that conversation. And so practice with other colleagues. So this is where I push kind of leaders in the organizations as well, is that, you know, this should be the work, right? This should be the work. And so this is the work, unless I'm assuming positive intent, right? We're all saying that this is the work. Practice these conversations, have your teachers get in groups and practice having some of these lesson studies and getting used to having the conversation with each other right? And so then I'm like, I'm used to having this conversation. Whose voices aren't heard? Do some research together for some lessons. Yes. Whose voices are, how do we do this research? Where do we find this research? How do we know this is credible? How do we know these books are credible, right?
Yes.
And so you do those types of professional learning in your staff meetings and your professional learning. So then when your teachers go out in front of kids, in front of students, they're equipped to have these conversations. Yes. And yes. So I think that's some of the issue is like, get used to having these hard conversations mm-hmm. amongst each other in the educational community. And then when yes. you can, when you go in front of your students, you can have these conversations and not feel, I call it sweaty pits, or like you feel uncomfortable, your hands are off. I mean, kids can sense it. They're like, oh no, Miss Creepmore is nervous to have this conversation.
Yes.
But like, you know, you feel more equipped to have this yes. conversation. And then you also, when you have a hard time having this conversation with these conversations, you have a buddy across the hall that you've done this work with, right?
Yes.
And so you have someone yes. saying, hey, you know, I had this conversation. This student asked this question and I don't know how to answer it, right?
Yes. And
you build a community there, a community of the work that should be the foundation.
Yes. And I love how you said that, the practice, you know, we're always modeling as educators how to perform and do the content in an actionable way. But we mm-hmm. also have to turn it in on ourselves, too, to do the practice. And I think what you said, Nita, was very important, because a lot of us, when we get the sweaty pits and we get nervous, is because we didn't practice, you know, mm-hmm. or it's, you know, oh, it's Black History Month. Let's get out the tub. It's like, I'm still Black all year. We can do this all year. We can incorporate it in science and in math and, absolutely. You know, and it is. And I feel like a lot of us educators, you know, we want to have that time and breath, but we don't have this. We're trying. And I feel like, you know, to urge them to practice with your teammates, practice, bounce off ideas, because as educators, we want our students to be critical thinkers.
But
if we can't do the critical thinking, how are they supposed to in turn do that? You know? Yeah.
Yes. I'm saying yes, yes, yes. Like inside, I'm like, yes. And then I'm thinking too, we're learners ourselves. I'm yes. still learning. There are so many cultures out there that I'm still learning about, right? And so modeling that learning, one, in community with other educators saying, yes, I know a lot about Black folks because I'm Black. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still learning about other cultures. Right. I'm still learning about other worlds. And so modeling that, because then I feel like that allows everyone to see each other as human. Mm-hmm. Like there's sometimes that I get it wrong too. Right.
Yes.
And there's sometimes that I have to pull back and say, ooh, I didn't get it right that time. And mm-hmm. I have to relearn and unlearn and yes. also tap into other people and their cultures and learn from them. And I think that's kind of what happens here. Yes, I'm Black, but that doesn't mean I'm like, one, I know Black people, but I don't know. We're not a monolith, right?
So exactly. Like, yeah.
We're still learning each other. And so yes. I think that once we realize that we're all learners and the work is ours together in community and collectively, then I think that then the work is threaded. Then we're together in this. And I think that's some where division lies. And, you know, I'm rooted in love, I'm yes. rooted in compassion. And I just feel like once we get that together in community, we can thrive together. And then when we thrive together, our students will thrive, you know?
Oh, definitely. And yes, please share with our audience your Love, Teach, Bless brand. I mean, I love your tagline that says, inspired educators inspire educators, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, that's how we thrive in this educational space. It's like, oh, I found mm-hmm. this resource. I'm always willing to share, you know, and,
yes.
and when you get that spark, it just, you relive that enjoyment. Mm-hmm. So please share with us. I just love your platform of this Love, Teach, and Bless. Yes.
Yeah. So I started this when I was like still in the classroom. I was still in education. I taught for 13 years and I started just sharing fun things that I feel like inspired me in my journey. And so when I came up with the tagline, like inspired educators, it really was from a community standpoint, like in the sense of like, because I'm inspired, I can maybe light up a spark that may have been dim in you, right? Because I'm so inspired, or times when I'm dim in my journey, someone else who has a spark helps to light flare that up in me, right? And then it helps me to get inspired. And I think, I feel like that's what education and educators is about, is that sometimes my light may not always be lit, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes I need someone else in community whose light is lit to be like, fire it up for me a little bit. And once I see that that you're inspired, I'm like, okay, let me get on this bandwagon again. You've kind of lit something in me. And so that kind of is what started my journey of Love Teach Bless. And I just feel like when I decided with the name of Love Teach Bless, one, I'm rooted in love always. I really mm-hmm. try to root in love always. I really try to assume like positive intent. And when there's times when I have to call in, I do it in love, like mm-hmm. in love. And then when I teach, I'm always a teacher. Like I always am a teacher. I'm an instructional coach and I'm always an educator, always educating, always an educator. I feel like I've been in this game. I mean, this is what, my 18th year in education. It's just a part of me. So even though I'm a coach, I left teaching, and I tell people this, at a point where I was at a high. So like my light was lit. And I tell people all the time, when you're in a shift, when you're in a shift and you're shifting from a role to role, so whether I'm shifting from teacher to principal, teacher to vice principal, teacher to instructional coach, do it at a time where your light is still lit. Mm-hmm. Because you go into that space so ready. Because I tell you people all the time, like I missed being a teacher. I love being a coach. But there were times when my teachers, I'd be like, oh, I need to get in somebody's classroom. Let me get in your classroom. I need this. Because my light was already always so lit. Or when I see an awesome lesson from a teacher, I'd be like, oh my goodness. Like it would just spark so much in me. And that's where the teacher comes from. And bless is like, I hope that what I share always is a blessing to others. There's so many times that people are such a blessing to me. And I feel like it's like the flow of water. It's like one of those things that's like, you're a blessing to me. I hope I bless you. And so like, it's one of those things. And that's kind of where Love Teach Bless came from. And then from that, it just birthed something completely incredible. It's something that is my passion and my joy. I've met so many amazing people through my social media and through the work that I've been doing through Love Teach Bless, including you, Jibbe. And so like, I just, you know, it's one of those things that it's been a blessing to my life. And so everything I do is one of those things that's not calculated. People always ask me, how did you grow your account? How did you do this? And I would love to say like, there's like some like magical puzzle that I put together. I just was my authentic self. Like I just posted things and put things online that like meant a lot to me, meant a lot to the people that I've been in contact with, whether it's my students or other teachers or the community that I serve. And yeah, that's been my journey.
Love that. And yes, that's how I found you on Instagram, because yeah. You look like me. You have this bright, energetic personality, and your 7 pages. I mean, you inspired me to find books for me to put on my YouTube channel to read and share with others. Yay. And record and share with my teacher friends. And yes. And so thank you for doing that, because like you said, you are a blessing to us educators of and you're welcome, love. It's from the bottom of my heart, because like I said, you are like my book bestie. Like you showed this reel the other day where you've got all these stacks of books, stack 1 through 5. And I'm like, that's me. I feel seen. Like I cannot leave a bookstore without books, you know? And I'm like, my husband, Andy, is just like, oh gosh, you know, he knows when I buy more, where are we going to put this? I'm like, it's for work. You know? Yeah. So I just feel seen. When I saw you post that, I was like, yep, that's my life. Yep, I feel seen, you know? Yeah. So thank you. Oh my gosh, this has just been an amazing chat, Nita. And please don't hesitate. I will definitely put your information in the show notes so everyone can also follow your Love Teach Bless journey as well.
Thank you.
And just before we go, is there any other tips that you have for us educators on this multicultural social justice and education space that we're in right now?
I would want to share some books. I would be remiss if I didn't share some books to help out with that. So one book that I've just been really loving so much is Literacy is Liberation. I don't know if you have this book. It's by Kimberly Parker, and it's Working Toward Justice Through Culturally Relevant Teaching. And there's some questions in there that you can ask, you know, if you should teach this text. And it's just a really, really good book. Another one that I always want to share is Street Data is another amazing good book. And the reason why I want to share Street Data is by Shane Safir and Jamila, I think it's Dugan. I'm sorry if I say your name wrong. But it says, you know, radically imagine, reimagine how you take data and what data you take for your students. And yes. And that's just centering equity. And so like, yes. The reason why I share those two books is because a lot of times when we're taking data and when we're doing tests and we're assessing students, we're looking at that data through one lens. And so when you're thinking about multicultural education, you're thinking about finding students' genius and you're thinking about finding out where their growths are, you have to reimagine, right? How we look at data, how we take data, whose data are we really taking, right? And so those are things that I think that are really important when you think about multicultural education. Those are some a couple of new books that have just recently come out that I would definitely say. And then of course, Zaretta Hammond. I mean, she's the guru of like cultural relevant teaching. Like we have to go back to her as well, culturally teaching the brain. And so, yeah, so those are some books that I would definitely, you want to learn more. If your audience, I mean, your audience wants to learn more about it. And I know you're well-versed already, but like, those are some books that have really, yes, like we need this in education and just to reimagine what education can look like, not just for the majority, but for the, you know, the world majority.
Exactly. I would say that's what equity is all about, you know? Yes.
Right.
For the everyone that fits everyone's needs at that
exactly.
time. So
exactly.
That's amazing. Nita, it's just been a blessing to have you in the guest
Thanks.
Chair. And audience, please follow Miss Nita Creekmore on Love Teach Bless on Instagram. And I will have more details in the show notes where you can follow her journey. All right. Thanks, everyone, and have a wonderful day.
Thanks for listening to Cultural Curriculum Chat with Jebba Edmonds. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast. We will be here same time, same place next week. Take care. Bye-bye.